Welcome back in to the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. Got a exciting show for you today. Glad you're here. I've been really like wanting to talk about the whole red pill movement for a long time. Some of it fascinates me. Some of it like really confuses me. So got Jerry Jacobs Jr. coming on from CatholicAlpha.com. He's going to break it all down to us from a Catholic perspective. And I hope you find it very interesting. But before we get started, make sure you hit that like, that sub, that share, that notification bell, and all that good stuff. If you're listening to me on the audio platform, hey, leave a nice review for me there, you know, in the review section. I appreciate that. But without further ado, let's get into the show. This is the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason.
Hovering over the skies of a post-Christian society, we have spotted a man with a donut in one hand and rosary beads in another.
Child, I'm about to whoop Satan's behind.
He is boldly proclaiming truth and reason like no rigid Catholic ever has before. The David L. Gray Show begins now.
Jerry Jacobs Jr. is the Catholic Alpha. You can find him at CatholicAlpha.com. Marriage Unchained. Jerry, what, you know, if I went to your website, you know, I've been checking you out for like a lot of years. Finally happy to have you on the show. Your wife is a good friend of mine. And, but I just want to just hop in. CatholicAlpha.com. So mm-hmm. Marriage Unchained, the art of the flesh. So art of one flesh. So you and I were in the elevator. And you kind of just quickly told me, you know, what you do. We're going up about five flights. Pitch it to me. what is Marriage Unchained?
So basically, it all comes from a concept of what I call the holy lover. So a holy lover is you being the man that God created you to be and you being the husband that your wife needs. And so when I say Marriage Unchained, the art of one flesh, Marriage Unchained is unleashing all of those gifts, all of your love, all of your power as a man, all of your masculinity and greatness onto your wife, and to love her so hard that she will never, ever think about leaving you. She'll be happy and fulfilled as a woman. And the art of one flesh, of course, that's about intimacy, understanding what God has, what he means by one flesh, the love of Christ, the love of the Father, and how they create the Holy Spirit. And that is what I try to bring to CatholicAlpha.com. And CatholicAlpha.com, Alpha is not what people think. It is what it thinks, but the reason I call it Catholic Alpha is because, not because I'm this alpha dude that I'm just trying to, you know, be this whatever. The reason it's called Catholic Alpha is because I realized that many men these days are wusses. They wusses in this country. They're wusses in their families. They don't man up. They're not, you know, masculinity is looked upon as terrible and horrible. We're looked up as oafs. And I realized that. But in our home, I realized you have to be an alpha man. Which means what? You can't sit around and let evil just infiltrate your home. You can't sit around just let everybody do what they want to do. You got to actually lead your family. Because if you don't, God will allow the pain in your marriage. And guess what? He will force you to lead it. And that's, so that's why I call it Catholic Alpha. Mm-hmm.
Man, that's good stuff, man. That's that's powerful. Man. I love that. Mm-hmm. So, and you're not only are you're live streaming every day for the most part, but you're also meeting with men and wives. Or what's your counseling thing look like? Is it just men or not?
It's I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counselor. I'm a coach. So what's the difference?
Coach. Okay.
So marriage counseling is basically, you know, you go and you kind of emote and, you know, and then what happens is the psychiatrist and the counselor, they are concerned with your psychological well-being.
Okay.
Coaches, we ain't got time for all of that. We don't. We have action. We're trying to get you. We're trying to get you back with your wife. So we have action steps that we give you, and to draw her back to you, and you to her. And most men love that because we don't like emoting and being inside of office and trying to tell all. And then the counselor jumps on us and gets mad at us, and everybody gangs up on the man, and we don't want to go back, right? So that's the difference. Yep.
That's good. And welcome in, everybody that's coming in. Appreciate you. Can't go forward without giving just a quick shout out to all my sponsors, those that are YouTube members and those who signed up on Patreon, got names scrolling below. We had a new person came in, Joseph R. So thanks for coming in. Let me put up the banner real quick for those who are interested. If you want to join a team, you can do over so at Patreon. That's patreon.com/DavidLGray, or just click on the link in the description box. Or if you want to become a YouTube member, you get the exclusive contents, all my old shows that are, you know, still interesting. So appreciate all you guys and appreciate all your prayers and everything. Got Jerry Jacobs Jr. here at from CatholicAlpha.com. Going to get into the whole red pill topic. But Jerry, based upon what you said, though, man, one thing that just caught me, and somebody had posted this comment, I guess we could also segue into it based upon some things that you just said about just a man not being a man, and how a weak man is going to let sin into his house. He's going to open a door to all types of, you don't know what's going to come into the door if you're not a man doing your job. So Brad says, he says, I won't be able to take anything seriously on this whole red pill topic unless you mention how much money is spent on porn in this country. I don't know if the dollar amount really addresses the issue. It's one way to look at the issue. How much money are porn people making? How much money are people spending on it? But from your line of work, though, from you coaching people and getting men back on track, and from your research, the adultery of porn, because porn is adultery, how bad is it affecting the men that you see and the men that you know?
Okay. So I mainly help men. So basically I help men in marriage crisis. So if their wife asks for divorce, if their wife asks for space, if they haven't made love in over a month, if they file for an annulment or they are divorced, I help men in what the church calls marriage crisis. As far as masturbation and pornography, matter of fact, I had Steve Picorni on my show about a month ago, and we did a two-part series on pornography and stuff. It's bad. It's serious. And what I tell men when they come, you know, what I try to tell them is, man, look, I understand you're a man. I understand. But, man, your second mission as a man is to defend your home from the diabolical. And so when you masturbate and when you watch pornography, all you just did will separate yourself from God and enter yourself onto the side of Christ, on the side of the devil. And you allow that, basically, while you're distracted watching pornography, Satan just walked right past you through the front door, went upstairs and got into bed with your wife and kids.
Wow.
And they ask me all the time, like, how do you know that? You know how I know that Satan's in your home? Because you unhappy, your wife is miserable, she wants to leave you, she can't stand you, and your kids are miserable. That's how Satan works. I mean, people think this is all bad luck. Well, my marriage is bad because it's bad luck. You know, nothing in the supernatural world and on this earth is bad luck. That's not. I don't even use that term because it's not a real term, and nothing is a coincidence. And so pornography, it opens the door. People don't understand that. They think that God will accept you for who you are no matter what you do. That's Protestantism. That's crazy stuff. Thing about it is God wants you to conform and chisel. He just like your wife chisels you, you chisel her, and you get in front, you become pure in front of God, and then God takes you the rest of the way. And that's kind of how it works, man.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Jerry, you're not playing around, man. You shooting straight arrows. I like that.
I like you too, man. I like your stuff. You shoot straight too. That's why I like you. I was like, we're gonna have a good time today.
yeah. You came out the gate though. I need a little time to warm up. So let me get there. So, but this whole red pill topic is something, like I said, I wanted to cover for a while. So let me just like describe it for my audience who may have never heard of it. And I'm going to describe a couple of players in this whole thing. And I'm going to play a quick video that Jerry Jacobs is going to respond to. So the red pill movement, if you were like to just type it into YouTube, you would come up with a number of different things. So it started a number of years ago. Red pill. Let's just talk about the red pill. So if you may have seen the whole Matrix thing, Morpheus presented to Neo a blue pill and a red pill. If he had taken a blue pill, he would have stayed in his world. He would not known anything. He would not have known the truth. But if he had taken a red pill, he would have known the truth. And the truth would have set him free. You know, the Matrix is always playing on Christianity in this way. So Neo takes the red pill and the glaze comes off his eyes. He sees the world exactly how it is. And then he begins to learn how to operate in that world of the real. So with the red pill guys, what they were trying to do, they were trying to rediscover or throw off the glaze of the relationship between men and women. That men had been lied to, that women were tricking men, and that women had the advantage. So the red pill guys were like, hey, we have to get the advantage back, and this is how we do it. So men began teaching men about how to have advantage over women. And so this is why there's a lot of controversy in the red pill movement. It is a lot of self-improvement there. Some women can criticize it as being misogynistic, hateful. It's really not, some would say it's not even really helpful to men and women relationships. It's not a fair balance there. So springing up over these last few years was all sort of red pill movement with women, right? So there's a lot of usury here. There's a lot of unhealthy things that's going on in the red pill movement. One of the biggest players, in the red pill movement, regardless of skin color, I think people of all different backgrounds was watching this guy. He's deceased now. His name is Kevin Samuels. So Kevin Samuels came on the scene as just a sort of like a life coach for men, teaching men how to bathe and wear perfume, how to dress. And then he sort of a few years ago, he kind of found his niche. And that was like, some would say, tearing down women, telling women, hey, you're just average, you know. But one thing he was really known for, he didn't invent it, but he sort of coined it, and he would talk about it a lot, was this idea of being a high value man. And so men would begin to aspire to what Kevin Samuels was talking about, becoming this high value man. And I had known one guy back when I was selling cars. This guy who I was working with, he was in Atlanta. You know, and Kevin Samuels was in Atlanta, and I said, hey, we're just chopping it up. And I said, hey, do you listen to Kevin Samuels? Because I knew he was, a younger guy. And he said, yeah. He said, in fact, and this is what he said, Jerry. He said, in fact, Kevin Samuels changed my life. And he said that once I realized who I'm supposed to be as a high value man, the woman who I was with, I had to get rid of her because I realized she wasn't in my class. So this guy, I'm selling this guy a BMW, so it wasn't like a C class either. He was, like an E class or something like that. No, a Mercedes rather. And so he's really trying to have the appearance of being this high value man, Jerry. And then that's when I kind of realized, Jerry, that, man, this is kind of what Kevin Samuels was talking about could be sort of destructive in this way of trying to teach men how to aspire to worldliness. But let me play this clip so that everyone can see what I'm talking about when it comes to Kevin Samuels in a whole high value man pitch.
So let's get into this whole high value man thing. Number one, in order to be a high value man, it starts with money. Again, like it or not, I didn't put the six figure thing out there. Been with us since the mid 80s, and like it or not, That's where this whole thing started. Number two, that money needs to be made over a length of time, i.e. performance. And that's roughly about 5 years. And about the 3-year mark, you're kind of starting to scratch the surface. Why does it need to be 5 years? Well, because guys, it's a matter of consistency and stability. Number three is group acceptance. Like it or not, guys, High Value Men is like a fraternity. It's like a club, a secret society. And High Value Men know other High Value Men. They welcome them into the group. They know what it takes to be there. They know what it takes to get in there. And High Value Men, group acceptance is supremely important. Why is group acceptance so important? Because the next part, a network. You have to have a network of other High Value Men and others. This is another stumbling block for a lot of guys, for a lot of people, because they may have the money, even the length of time. They may look like they fit the group, but if they don't even have any other high value contacts or a network, a group of others, that person's gonna be looked at with a side eye. After the network, we gotta have the visibility. Guys, your income and your position has to be LinkedIn level. Think of it like this. This person says they're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. This person is head of thoracic surgery at Johns Hopkins. This person is VP of mergers and acquisitions at Bank of America. And then someone says, hi, I'm an entrepreneur. Three of those four people, at a glance, we can pretty much estimate who they are, what they do, and their relative importance in the overall socioeconomic structure. The fourth person, more information is needed. It's not enough visibility, not enough transparency. To be a high value man, it needs to be at a glance. And the sixth part is probably my favorite part, guys. A high value man is useful to others and the group. A lot of times you hear people say, I don't want to be used. I don't want to be used. No, I want to be used. Why? Because that means I'm useful. High value men are in demand and useful.
Now, there's another lady out there. Her name is Courtney something like that. Courtney Christine Ryan. She's pretty popular. She would define a high-value man as someone who is authentic. He's emotionally intelligent. He has self-care, self-love, has integrity, and he's always learning. Jerry Jacobs, what's wrong with, or what's right? I mean, what's your perspective on this whole phenomenon in the Red Pill movement about being a high-value man?
So I think what originally happened, if you look at that, what he's saying in the form of a business, he's completely like 100% right. And I kind of think that's how he kind of started out. Cause it's in the beginning of that video, I watched it. He's talking about, he was a coach to help men better, you know, do what he was saying, those six things. And so it sounds to me like he took that and put it into relationships and how to judge who a man is and his wherewithal and his worth and stuff like that. But man, it all boils down to what? It's nothing that he says is about suffering and sacrifice as a man, about being as Christ, about, because listen, no, you can judge a man by how much money he has and his success in business, all that stuff. But if that was all it took, then everybody would just go out and make $1 billion and that's all we would need. But that's not what we need. You know, rich people wouldn't jump off buildings, right? They wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't jump off buildings because they lost all their money. But the thing about it comes down to, man, it's all about selfishness. And we've got to understand that you've got to realize that men are worth more than this crap. You know, the true definition of a man is this: your relationship with God, the love, devotion, and respect of your wife, who's your number one fan, and then how your children view you. That's the only thing that should be at the top of your, of every man's list. Your job and what you are and your value is, like, as far as that is down. So basically he's saying he's saying that if we're not these things, we're not as valuable as the next man. And that's not true. We can be great. Every man is called to be great in their home. Like St. Joseph. You know, it's crazy. We can be great in our homes, and that's how you become a great man. Everybody always wants respect, and all they always want to be this great athlete or this great businessman. But man, those people have talent for that, right? They just do. Everybody doesn't have the same talent in the eyes of God. Yeah. Yeah. So, but in your home, you can be a great man. You can create a legacy that spans time. That other people look at your marriage at home and say, man, I wish my family was like that. I wish my marriage was like that, you know. Yeah, but we're so confused. And we will never be. The problem we don't understand is, as a man, you will never be fulfilled as a man until you're willing to die for something. Mm, mm. You won't. You won't. And that's the problem. That is all about selfishness, about what I can do, and all that, what I can do. And that never works, man. Just look at Christ. It kills me how people think Christ was soft and weak. He's kind of like a punk and stuff. Because that's how I used to think before I became Catholic. I ain't going to lie. But, man, once I start getting into the faith and understanding Jesus Christ, the reason that Catholics have Jesus Christ on that cross, on that crucifix, man, is to show men what we're supposed to be doing, dying every day. Yeah, that's the test.
Speaking with Jerry Jacobs Jr., he is at CalphaAlpha, CatholicAlpha.com. You can find him online, in podcasts. He's on the David L. Gray Show. A few comments rolling in. Paul Nielsen says, I had that get-rich mindset at one time, and I did too. In my 20s. My goal, when I was 30 years old, my goal was, like, I just wanted to own, like, a Jaguar. That was my shallow life goal. And I was just all about that money. And Jackson Pinkney says, money cannot buy happy marriage. Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates are both divorced.
Amen. And matter of fact, Mr. Samuels ain't married neither. Exactly. Thank you, Mr. Jeff.
Right.
Let me say this real quick, though. Yeah. Look, man, the red pill and the blue pill thing, when I love the movie The Matrix, and because it's a supernatural world, heaven, hell type of thing. Mm-hmm. And the one thing, because I love watching anything that has Catholic annotations in it.
Yeah.
You know, but way I can identify with that red pill as far as like seeing the world for what it really is, that's how it is for us when we come to God, right? When we get in the church. And we start loving Christ and we start feeling the knowledge for him. We can't get enough knowledge of him, right? Right. And then all of a sudden, the fruit of the Holy Spirit called wisdom comes. And what happens? You start to see the world for what it truly is. Mm, and it's painful. That's why Orthodox Catholics, it's hard to hate them, but it's hard to like them. Yeah. I'm an Orthodox Catholic too. And like my wife, she is Orthodox, and sometimes she can get uppity. I call it Orthodox, not traditional. But you know how we can get uppity, right? Yeah. We get a little uppity, like, you know, they got that wrong in the church. They did this, and they're not doing this. But what I realize is that's a cross. It's like we see the world for what it really is, and it's so painful to us. It's hard for us to let things go anymore, right? What do you think?
That's true. I like how you use Orthodox too. Orthodox, you're doing it the right way versus traditional. I have to think about that. I think you're just doing it the right way. I like that. Yeah, because the scriptures are clear that we are to seek God and his righteousness first. And then all these other things will be added unto us. So if a man is not seeking God and his righteousness first, he's not putting first principles first, then everything's just going to be out of order. And when things are out of order, things are disordered. And one disorder causes another disorder. It's a snowball that causes, is a snowball effect, right?
Yeah. And so that's what, like, when men come to me and we have these things, we've got this thing of, we kind of do haphazard priority. Like, okay, the car needs fixed, I got to go fix that. My job needs fixed, I got to go fix that. Oh, my marriage has a problem, I need to fix that. But see, I put that in the problem. Oh, my marriage can wait. So I go get, I got to get to work, so I got to get my car fixed. The problem with that is, man, we have to learn as men, our wives don't roll like that. And we've got to understand, here's the deal. I teach every man, from the time you start with me, your priority in your life is this: God first, your wife and marriage second, your kids third, and yourself last. Why? Because what'll happen is you don't do, that means you don't do anything. When there's a decision in your life, you don't do anything that's going to hurt your relationship with God.
Right.
If that's cool, then you say, is this going to hurt my relationship with my wife and my marriage? If that's cool, and I go, okay, they're going to relationship with my kids. Is that cool? Okay.
Then so
I
you talk, my, you're talking about like decision making? Are you talking about like decision making? Okay.
Priority. And then priorities. I go get my car fixed. If it don't affect any one of them three, then I go get my car fixed. Then I go worry about work.
Yeah, I like that.
You see what
like
I'm saying? That. Plus, you have to, because in the big scheme of things, remember that I said those are three are the only thing that matters. If we don't put selfishness to the side, we will start being selfish all the time. And for us, for men, it's real easy for that to become a habit.
And you made a point about legacy too. And you had your own story about how you realized you were out with your boys one day and you know, there was some sort of conflict and the guy had pulled out a gun and it was like a metanoia spirit for you, had you think about some things in a different way. Tell that story real quick.
Mm-hmm. So I coached football, youth football for years. And so one day we didn't have practice, but I said, look, we're going to come over to my house and practice. So we were practicing out in the front. We live in condominiums. And so in the center of the condominiums is a big square where everybody would just go play around and stuff. So me and the fellas and my coaches and all the parents came. We were there. We were having a good time. Kids were coaching. So there was this dude that lived in that complex in the thing, and he comes out and he really didn't like it. He's one of those older kind of dudes, and everybody knew he was not really a nice man, but you know, he's kind of ignoring. So that particular day, we're coaching the kids. My coaches and the parents were out there coaching the kids. The dude walks out and he says, "What are y'all doing out here?" And I didn't hear him at first, and he started like kind of yelling. So I, you know, I'm the head coach. So I go over and I say, "Hey man, you know, what's going on?" And before I knew it, man, there's a 38 in my belly. And I said, I was stupid. I said, "If you don't put that gun away, I'm going to take it out your hand and whoop your butt with it."
Yeah.
I stupid. And, obviously, he must have got scared because he put the gun away and he left. And we called the police and everything, and police didn't do anything to him. But that made me go, okay, obviously, years later, obviously that made me go, okay, the Holy Spirit had something more in store for me than to die right there in front of all those kids, right?
Yeah.
And so it was my wife. She'll tell you that story. They all my wife and my kids all tell it different.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to stick. When I heard that, it was just like, I think a lot of us have that experience that, you know, when, you know, something real happens and we look back and say, man, that could have went like a whole different way, but God was, you know, if not for God. And, you know, when I think about things that could win another way, I think a lot of men sometimes, especially men like me who have had like a previous marriage outside the church, or some men inside the church, you know, they got an annulment or whatever. Sometimes we look back and we have these regrets when we mature, or we maybe not regrets, where we think about, man, if I was like the man I am today back then, I would have had a different approach to that relationship. And so, but in that same vein, Will had raised the question I was thinking about like the choice of, in as much as I could have been a better husband, you know, if David now 50 years old, you know, in my first marriage back when I was 26, I would have been a completely different type of husband. But at the same time, the woman who I chose would not be the woman that I chose.
Right.
You know, I would have been looking for something completely different as well. So it's like a weird, it was a weird thing to think about. So, but what should we be thinking about? Men who are single or us fathers talking to young men, what are some things we should be thinking about in that? Or you may say, how patient should we be as we discern the type of woman who God is calling us to marry? Because Will is talking about, he said, make sure you pick the right woman or she will be your downfall, your Jezebel. So what are your thoughts on that? Because I say this, because I don't think the red pill movement is even on that. I think, again, they're trying to make themselves high value men, or women are looking for these so-called high-value men, and it ended up being men without Christian values. And becoming a high-value man is not becoming a man of Christian values. So they're on something completely different when it comes to discerning marriage. So what's some of your thoughts on that?
So first of all, we can't lead our family. Okay, we're called to lead, right? We have no choice. If you're a man and you're married, you have no choice but to lead in your home, because if not, God will allow the demons in your life, and that will be enough pain to make you lead. So you're going to do it easy or you're going to do it the hard way. But the problem is, we can't lead our homes like our grandfathers and his father did, right? Because women have too many avenues out here. They got divorced women. They got single women. They got all divorced groups. They got all this other, the whole society is against marriage. And we as Catholics, we talk about all the time that if you don't, the attack on the family, destroy the family first, and that's how you get the turn over the country. You know, that's what's happened. And the way you have to lead your home is this. First of all, you got to realize you don't lead your home. Your wife allows you to lead your home. That's the whole key to the whole thing.
Yeah, talk about explaining that a little bit more. What does that mean?
What that means?
Because some men would say, you know, especially those who, sort of like in the like Catholic traditionals, you know, you talk about like the sort of like the Tim Gordon type of groups, they would say, well, according to the Roman Catechism back in 1560, you know, they say, you know, so the man is just supposed to be like a sort of domineering. The woman can't leave the house without permission. So
a hurt woman, I'm going to tell you one thing. A hurt woman who wants to leave and divorce her husband, she's serious Catholic. She don't care about God, and she definitely don't care about the Bible right now. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. I can tell you hundreds of women who are Catholic that have decided after 30 years they're going to leave their husband, and they don't care. They don't care. That's why the first thing I tell the guys is stop quoting scripture to your wife, because right now she don't care. Because you know what? She's trying to discern. She's trying to leave you, and she don't care about you leaving nothing. So what I mean about women allowing their husband to leave the family is this. When your wife trusts her husband and she loves him and she knows he loves her more than anything, she will work with him and collaborate him. But when she senses that the emotional connection is leaving in her marriage, which is what? Basically, emotional connection is everything for a woman. I don't care if she's black, white, Catholic, Christian, Orthodox, whatever. It don't matter. The emotional connection is most important thing for a woman, even above God sometimes. And if they ain't got that, they trying to get away from you. They don't want to have sex with you. They don't want to talk with you. They don't want to be near you. And so when she doesn't trust you, what she'll do is she'll start nagging you. That's the first clue that you know you got marriage problems, is your wife will start to nag you. Why aren't you doing this? She come back to you at every turn. Matter of fact, your house becomes hell because you and your wife arguing all the time, and you every time you try to do something, she combats you. She opposes you. Opposes you with the kids, opposes you with every way. So how can you lead? You can't lead like that, right?
That's a good point.
You can't. So the thing about it is when you guys are together, When your wife knows you love her, the emotional connection is strong, the marriage is strong, she can trust you. Why? Because every woman, no matter if they're a feminazi or not, which is a feminist, if you don't know, if you don't know Rush Limbaugh, if she's a feminazi or not, they know that their main job here is to bond and nurture the children and their husband. They know that. So basically, this is why our job as a man is a lot more broad than the women. Both jobs are perfection. Both jobs are equally important, right? But women, if she doesn't trust you to lead the family, to do what you're supposed to do, then what's she going to do? She's going to be all in your business. Because she's going to try to do your job and her job because she don't trust you. This is why it's important that as a man, you must realize your first priority is God, then your wife and marriage, and then your kids. Because if not, your home will be hell.
Yeah. Speaking with Jerry Jacobs Jr., he is from CatholicAlpha.com. Check him out there. Check out his podcast. And he has, if you want to reach out to him for some coaching, he has like a tool. Only takes maybe less than 30 minutes. He can evaluate what's going on in your relationship and help you start you down that path. But Jerry, what about... how do men know, because you're dealing with crisis, right? And you talked about nagging. You talked about some of these signs that's there, but what are some really hot trigger warning items that men should be paying attention to? Or is it when he finds out she's out there looking for other options, or is there something before that?
What every man must learn is how to learn the mysteries of their beloved. Stop saying your wife is a partner. She's not a partner. She's not a buddy at the job. She's not a stranger out here on the street. She is your beloved. She is the woman of your children, the mother of your children. She is the mother, the woman who you just said you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And we treat them like partners, like they're some business partner or something. Women don't sign up for that, Dave. They don't sign up for that. Women don't sign up to have all these kids. They don't sign up to take out the trash. They don't have to clean the house. They don't sign up to go to work 8-12 hours a day. They sign up for your love. Because you promised them, didn't you? You said, I'm going to give you the world. I'm going to make you feel, you're going to be proud of my life. Number one part of my life. And I'm going to give you the world. And soon as the stresses of work and job and kids start happening, we forget all of that. And we wonder why 30 years in marriage or 5 years in marriage, she don't want to have sex with us or she wants to leave us. So the first clue, again, that you have serious marriage problems and you don't even know it is your wife is nagging you.
That is it? Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
That's the number one thing. You know why? Because she's sensing that the emotional connection is leaving and she's trying to get validation of your love for her. So if he does what I say, then he loves me. If he listens to me, then he loves me. If he takes my opinion and validates my opinion, he cares about me. If that does not, but most guys, we ain't going to listen at that point. No. We go, she's just kidding. I got to go work. She got her job. I have my job.
Yeah. I always thought sex was a form of, there's many different ways of communication. We do it audibly. We do it with our body language. We do it with gifts. I mean, there's different ways a man can communicate or spouses can communicate with each other. I thought one of the most essential ones within marriage is just conjugal love, sex. It's an intense form of prayerful communication that God has given us for procreation. But also church teaches for unity, the betterment of spouses,
And yes.
All that's included. That's why it's pleasurable. But how, I mean, really how, cause you mentioned that a few times that, the couple not having sex is every couple the same? Should every couple be like right after on your honeymoon, you're doing it, like every day for like eight weeks or something like that? Or
okay.
Is it different for everybody? I mean, what's the standard?
So here's the problem talking about sex. Everybody's disordered when it comes to sex.
Okay.
Everybody, they don't really understand it. They don't know really what it's for. Mm-hmm. They don't, and then if you're a Catholic and you start talking about sex, all of a sudden now, we got to turn him off. We can't listen to that. We can't say orgasm. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know, crazy stuff. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, man. Sex is the second most important thing in your marriage behind prayer. You know why? I just told you 5-10 minutes ago. Because the emotional connection with your wife. And if people that kill me say, "Oh, you ain't gotta have sex to you ain't gotta have sex to be have a great marriage," that's a lie.
I mean, but you do get older though, right? I mean, I mean, you're 70, you're 75 years old. I mean, you're not
okay. That's a myth.
Okay.
We are not supposed to listen, as men and women, we're not supposed to be old and sickly. We're supposed to be making love until we die, until 90s or whatever. People don't see the problem is what we put in our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That makes us sick. And we got to start taking toxins, which is medications. And of course we can't walk. Of course we can't have sex. Of course we can't get an erection. Of course we can't make love to our wife properly. Of course we can't. So everybody goes, "Well, I'm 60 years old. I'm 80 years old. I guess I'm not supposed to make love anymore." Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Is it fair to a woman who's still vital in her 70s or 60s or whatever? She can make love and wants to, but her husband's in a wheelchair because he ate carbohydrates and sugars for 80 years, and now he has arthritis and he has erectile dysfunction because he won't take care of his body. Is that the wife's fault? That's not fair. That's my whole point. I'm just saying, listen, it's about, we have to understand women. Marriage is about God and your wife. The intimacy is about God and your wife. So when you understand that, then you must realize that when my wife, emotional closeness is everything to her, even when she's in menopause.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that. And when that emotional connection starts to break, listen, Dave, I got guys, the highest one to ever come in my program, his wife left him after 45 years of marriage. Now, everybody goes, "Well, something's wrong with her." Of course, women have their problems too. But you know what's wrong with her? She has no intimacy, or she don't feel close to her husband. She don't feel like we're together anymore. She doesn't feel like he loves me or cares about me. And so that's why you need prayer, suffering, and sacrifice and penance as a husband.
Yeah.
Then you must learn how your wife, what your wife's body needs and how your wife's body works and how your wife thinks. And then you will understand that sex has to be the second most important thing behind prayer. Because if not, you will break that bond.
Mm-hmm. I like everything that you're saying. I think it's teaching men, especially men who may have accepted that the myth of the red pill, that it's all about the selfishness. It's all about what you want. It's all about this usury. What you're teaching is something completely different. You're talking about discerning, learning your wife, studying, really getting it in tune. This is a much deeper work that involves the other person and is prayerful. It's intentional. This is a whole different thing. And I like how you brought it back to really first principles about how the myth of, you're older, you're 75, you're 85, you're older. Maybe there's this myth that you're not supposed to be using your body and, you're not supposed to be doing the things that you used to do. But I like what you're saying is that it really comes back down to first principles and what scripture is teaching, that don't you know that your body does not belong to you? Don't you know that, or that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So if you take care of this thing, and of course there's things we inherit, physical conditions or whatever, mm-hmm. like that, genetic things, but largely if you take care of your temple, if you eat right, get exercise, then you can preserve yourself. This comes back down to some basic first principles, right?
It's called learning the mysteries of your beloved. You say you love her, you say she's the most important person in your life, mm-hmm. then act like it. Look how she moves. When she wakes up in the morning, what is her attitude? What is her, is she feeling okay? Is she, at work, does she have a good day at work? And what happened at work? How do I communicate with her? How do I communicate with her without what draws us closer together? How does she become my best friend? How does she become the most important thing in my life? How do I make her that? And people don't, you know, men, and listen, men, we have not been taught how to be men, Dave, in the last 100 years, probably. And so it's not all of this is that I'm saying is not all our fault. It's really not. But what happens is, because guys come to me all the time, is, man, why don't the church teach this stuff no more? I says, the church does teach it. The priests don't teach it on the pew.
Yeah, that's two different things, right?
You never hear a sermon about marriage. You never hear a sermon about intimacy. You never hear a sermon about how to keep your marriage together, what to do. And then you go to a priest. Now, all of them. But then you go, I can tell, the guys come to me and go, man, me and my wife went to my priest. They sent us to a marriage counselor. That's fruitless. Because when you go to marriage counseling, here's what's going to happen. Usually one of the parties don't want to be there. So then what happened is when the counselor can't get the husband and the wife to stop arguing and fighting and come together, you know what they suggest? Right. Well, you guys ought to separate. You guys probably should get a divorce. Oh, man. That's why I'm in coaching and I'm not a therapist.
That's crazy.
Because in the Catholic faith, we know we can't divorce. We know it's divorce, not even a real word in the Catholic faith. We know that.
Right.
And you have to stay with that woman until you get that paper, that piece of paper. What's it called? Annulment.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Speaking with Jerry Jacobs Jr., he is at CatholicAlpha.com. You can listen to his podcast from there. And he also posts, links it to YouTube as well. Marriage Unchained, The Art of One Flesh. And Jerry, we're just speaking about divorce, and I have read this article that came out of Newsweek that I thought was very interesting because it connects with this whole red pill thing and the idea of being a high value man. And because based upon what's going on in society with lawyers or divorce lawyers are telling us is that they're seeing an overwhelming amount of women come to them in these recent years, 70% seeking divorce.
70% because... about. About 70%.
Yeah. Yeah. And what they're saying is that they're seeking divorce because they're tired of doing everything. Basically that they make more money than their husband, and he's sitting around, you know, playing PlayStation or whatever. For whatever reason, she feels that these women feel like he's not carrying the weight. Now, I want to say this. I think this is especially true because I hear this with a lot of black liberal women. You know, they're highly educated. A lot of them, they say they can't find a husband because they can't find someone that's making as much as they do. And so sometimes they do get married, but they end up being unhappy. So that's one group that seems to be culturally, they're really affected by this because apparently that segment of women are, you know, they have a lot more college degrees. They have, you know, they make a lot more money than me. So I don't know about other segments, but at least from the divorce lawyers are saying that it's a lot of women that's making more money than men and they're tired of doing it all. So talk about, I want you to talk to men who, apparently there are a lot of men in a situation where the wife makes more than them. So I want you to talk about, can you talk about, so if you are that man, are you still leading, right? I mean, what can you do if, because money is not what makes you a leader, right?
So naturally, the way God has set it up, so don't blame me and Dave, because we the messengers, we just the messengers. The way God set it up is men are naturally called to lead and to take care of their house. You guys got to understand that. God has set it up to where men have to take care of their house. Why? Because women got to deal with the kids. Somebody's got to raise the kids, man. And guess what? Over the last 100 years, ain't nobody raised them. That's why we've got what we've got in society.
Yeah,
okay? True. And so if, in your home, listen, in your home as a man, remember how I said at the beginning of the program, you got to be an alpha in your home. And you got to know what that means. And you got to know if you are a man of Christ, a man of God, then you know you got Jesus Christ, a 500-pound gorilla, standing right behind you. That's your authority. It's called authority. And if you don't use it and know how to use it properly, of course your wife's going to bitch. Of course she's going to whine and complain. But here's the trump card. I tell every guy that I talk to, the trump card is this, that emotional connection. Your wife ain't going nowhere when she knows you love her more than anything. But you still got to do your part, though, right? You still got to go. You might not make more money than her, but okay, I don't have but I'm out doing my part, right?
What does that mean, though? What does that look like?
The part is, if I got a job, sometimes you got to work two jobs. Sometimes you got to work three. You got to do it. As a man, it's our job to really provide, not our wives.
Okay.
You know, that's part of protection, right? Protect, defend, and serve. You know, that's part of protection. But today's society, women, they don't know their mission, so they got to go out and be a doctor, lawyer, the president. They got to go be a whatever and work at factories. They got to do what they got to do. Because they won't keep their legs closed. But that's another whole situation. So the thing about it is as a man, you got to do your part. And you got to take, this is why you put God first and your wife in marriage and then the kids. And then what will happen is things will flow right. She'll feel satisfied. You've got to learn how to be intimate with your wife so that she knows that you love her more than anything. What you're talking about, the sex thing, as far as it's an action, of I ain't got to open my mouth, it's an action that my wife knows I love her without me moving my mouth. Guys take the marital embrace for granted, and you can't take intimacy outside the bedroom. Conversation. Women follow with their mouth, with your mouth. Conversations, holding hands, going for walks, not neglecting her, spending time with her. And then that love transfers into the bedroom where you bring in God. Then you make love to her, and then you guys are in that one flesh union with God and you and your wife. And then when you have these things going on and you allow Christ to lead your home, then your wife is not going to bitch and whine. Now, another thing, too, like my man was saying about choosing the right woman. This the game starts outside the bedroom, gentlemen. The game don't start inside the bedroom, right? So when you got a woman, you got to pick the right one, which means what? When you're dating somebody, man, you got to talk about the deep stuff. Stop trying to have fun all the darn time. That's why you hear me say, dating is for sex and courting is for marriage. I did a podcast on that today. Dating is for sex. That means people want to, you know, they want to go and have a good time, and everybody wants to have a good time and not really know what to do with the consequences. Courting is for the man who's trying to be a real man. Can that woman get me to heaven? Or is she a Catholic? Or is she a Christian? You know, do we have something in common on the big, how many kids we gonna have, right? You know, do I even want to have kids? That's another thing, man. If you dating a girl and she don't want to have kids, you'd run from her.
I think in today's society, man, there's like so many, like, if I was out there single, man, it's like so many deal breaker questions on that first date, you know, because I'm serious about courtship. It's like so many deal breaking questions that's just like a common fiat to today for, I think, a lot of women. Like, you know, when is it okay to abort a baby? When is that okay? When, you know, I'm asking that question. You know, I'm asking, you know, like, you know, is it, you know, how many kids is too many kids? You know, these are like just some basic questions that I just want to get just, you know, an honest answer to. We had kids, you know, our boy, you know, he's over there playing with Barbies. You know, do you go, to, you know, what's the conversation you have? Do you go tell him he's a girl or something like that? I mean, what do you think? I mean, right?
Great.
I mean,
that's great. Look, here's the deal. The way they should be is this, okay? When the problem is, as a woman, you can't afford to sleep with no man because it makes things cloudy.
Yeah.
See, a guy, you don't sleep with a woman because when you do, you're bonding with her for the rest of your life. You didn't know that one, did you? Not you, Dave. I'm joking around, but I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
So with a woman, it's way worse than that. With a woman, when she sleeps with somebody that's not her husband, it damages her soul spiritually, it damages her psychologically, and it damages her emotionally, and she gets confused. Because women just can't, once a woman sleeps with a man and she has a sexual peak, she just can't leave him. Mm. It's hard for her because she's bonded to him. Dudes, we can go. we can separate ourselves a lot easier because we're more logical. Women are more emotional, so they can't separate ourselves. That's why women should never sleep with a man that they're not married to, because once you do, you lose all control of the relationship.
That's interesting.
St. Yeah. Thomas, St. Alphonse of Liguori, doctor of the church, said, listen, if that boy ain't ready to marry you in 6 months, get rid of him.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know he had a 6 month rule.
I heard that from Father Ripperger. Yeah, but 6 months to a year, if he's not, get rid of him. Because women don't have time like that.
No.
Because so when you sleep together, it makes things cloudy. You move in together, it makes things even more cloudy. You can't get away from her, or she can't get away from you, because the emotional thing is going on. But guess what? When you're courting and you haven't slept with each other, well, I really don't like him. I really don't like her.
Yeah.
You go, okay, we can just be cool, and that's cool, and you can leave, and there's no, you never lost nothing but some good times.
No,
right?
No, I still have one really good friend like that after I get, after my wife divorced me and I got annulment, you know, I was discerning priesthood for a while, and then, you know, I kind of discerned out of that, and it's the first woman I was, you know, courting, you know, we were like together for maybe like a year, and it just didn't, you know, we had known each other in high school. And she's out in California, and you know, the whole distance thing, really, we really didn't see that was going to come together. We was like, yeah, you know, fine. And you know, we never had, you know, conjugal, never had sex or anything like that, but we just ended up being really good friends. And we ended up doing some business, you know, some things with the business later on. And that was, and I still look back on that, I was like, man, that's just really how it should be. Number one, that's what God calls us to do. Second, you know, if she eventually did get married, why would I go have sex with another man's wife? You know, that's somebody else's wife. Why would I use her for that? So that's disrespecting him. You know, that's taking away her honor, and it's just a whole lot of things wrapped up in that. So I really truly believe in that, just from personal experience.
Well, check this out. Here's the number one rule for a woman: if you want to get married, you don't have sex with the guy, and he'll ask you to marry him within 6 months to a year. He will, if he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, my daughter, same thing. I said, hey, this last guy I said, girl, don't sleep with him. He'll ask you to marry him within a year. Guess what?
Yeah.
She's married now, got two kids.
Yeah, I believe in that. I preach that myself.
Dude,
as well.
It works.
Because you hear that? You hear that from a lot of women, like, oh, I can't. And can't, you know, I'm out there dating all these men. Basically, I'm having sex with them. Nobody's going to marry me. Close your legs.
Just a little
you
bit.
You have to give a man incentive. Exactly. A man has to have incentive. He has to.
Exactly, yeah. Dude. But you can't tell a woman that. Oh, he's so cute. I just, you know, he loves me. And you know, men, we get to be good talkers, right? Yeah. Girl, you know I love you. I'll do anything for you. Give him all the gifts. Take him out. And then she starts to think, well, maybe he really does love me. Yeah. But don't fall for it, ladies. Don't fall for it. You are destroying your family tree and your soul and your and psychologically, you're hurting yourself. Because when you do get married to that man, that one that really is the one that you're supposed to be married to, all that previous baggage that you had, it's gonna come in your marriage, and you're gonna make it hell for your husband.
That's true. The more partners you have, I mean, and that's statistically too. I think I was reading a stat saying the more sexual partners a woman has, I think this one just dealt with women.
Yes.
It said the more likely she is to get divorced. And it's just all, you know, cohabitation typically leads to unwed, you know, children out of wedlock typically leads to divorce. You know, it's all these things. It's all about first principles and doing things right.
Yeah. And men, the only one, the believe it or not, a husband can get rid of those inhibitions in his wife. He can get rid of all of it, but he has to know how to do it. Well, yeah. Okay, so first way is prayer and suffering and sacrifice and penance.
Yeah.
So you have to have the grace. So that's what you do. If you don't pray for your wife, who is? Who, if you don't pray for marriage, who is? So that's how you protect your family. You protect your wife. You keep the same, you know, through prayer. So boom, that's the grace, right? The other way is intimacy. So with women, intimacy is way more important than for men. Why? Because women, they're receivers. And so it affects them psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually way more than a man. So for a woman, the way you get her sacred self, other than prayer, is the more sexual peak she has, then the more she knows that you love her, and the more she wants to make love to you, and then the more you guys bond together as husband and wife. Mm. So I didn't want to go too deep in that, because I know, you know, I got to be careful because folks get all weird. I tried to give you the PG version.
if you want to know the full version, look up Jerry Jacobs at CatholicAlpha.com. Jerry, what is this like? I saw your website. So if people contact you, men contact you, there's some sort of assessment that you give, right? You know,
right. So okay, what I do is if you're in marriage crisis, so divorced. Your wife asked for divorce. She asked for separation. You guys haven't made love in over 30 days. Or your marriage is mediocre, which can be worse. You know, you just got an indifferent marriage. You have no passion, no fire, and you're just going along to get along. Then go to SaveMyCatholicMarriage.com. That's SaveMyCatholicMarriage.com. And then there's a marriage masterclass there that will help you. That can help you with some stuff. If you want more help after watching that, then a link pops up, and then you can speak to me, a coach, and I can help you. We'll have a free session where we go over your situation, and I actually help you right then. And then if you decide that, I don't pressure man to save his marriage. I really don't. If you're a grown-ass man, and if I got to sit there and try to convince a man to save his marriage, then I'm the wrong coach for him. But what we do is, he's killing me. So at the end of that call, if you decide that you want more help, then what'll happen is then we can go from there.
Yeah, that's okay. SaveMyCatholicMarriage.com.
Yep.
All right, awesome. Man, Jerry Jacobs, I gotta have you back on the show, man. This time went so fast. You opened up a door to so many other things that I do want to talk about, because there's no one really that's talking about this from a Catholic perspective. I mean, you're doing it, but you really don't hear much about this. You know, people want to talk about Sedevacantists and SSPX and all this inner, you know, whatever Pope Francis is doing, but nobody's really out here really. The divorce rate for Catholics is just as high as the world. We need people out here saving Catholic marriages, and that's what you're doing, man. But we need more of this.
But Dave, it's like the pornography thing. Like, we're the underbelly. Like, people in my ministry, like the Alexanders, me, but there ain't many of us. And like the Steve Picornis, and the pornography thing, trying to heal men from pornography. That's the underbelly. Nobody wants to talk about that stuff. But man, marriage is the center of the universe, baby.
I mean, it's the building block of every healthy society, man. It's always family, Christian values, education. If you get those three things, man, you can have a healthy society, but it begins with the family.
Yeah. Look, man, I'll come on whenever you want, man. We can do a monthly thing if you want. You can come on my show. I don't care. I just want people. I really, honestly, man, once I learned the real deal, what this is all about change. If you change the man, you change society. That's what this is about. You change the man, your wife will love you more than anything if you become a Christian soldier, an authentic man of God. She will. You won't have problems like that. You're always going to have some kind of problems, but you're not going to have these marriage problems, which is the worst thing you can have, ain't it? You know, brother. You know, brother. I know, too.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So, yes, I hope all the men that, you know, if we got any red pills that came into the live stream or listened to record stream, I really hope y'all heard something maybe different that you may be hearing, all that self-help stuff, and that you heard a message where it's God first, not you first. And if you want more information about this in particular, Jerry Jacobs Jr. is at CatholicAlpha.com, also SaveMyCatholicMarriage.com. And I'm definitely going to have him back on the show, so stay tuned.
Can I say one thing about the red pill? Because that's what your whole thing was about today. I mean, not just that, the high value man thing. Here's the thing, man. You can have all the money in the world. You can be a high value man. You can be a red pill dude and all you want. But my question to you is this. How you going to make that woman happy? How you going to keep her where you can make her happy for the rest of your life? Because if you can't, she going to take your little high value man money. Half of it at least. And I'm telling you, in all 50 states of this union, everybody can get divorced whenever they want. And annulment, they're gonna get their annulment too. So if you can't keep her happy and you can't keep her fulfilled as a woman, you can be high value all you want. Cause she gonna take you, brother. You know I'm right, Dave. You know I'm right.
I mean, that's pretty much the summation of the whole high value thing. What a joke it is. Cause
yes, exactly.
It really don't matter. So.
It don't. If you can't keep her happy, you're gonna lose her.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I mean, that's why a lot of these so-called high-value men, they got 5 and 8 wives, you know. So,
I love you, dude. You got it. You got the perspective down.
All right, God bless you, man. Jerry. Man, thanks for coming on.
All right, brother. Thank you. That was fun.
And how's it having? Appreciate y'all. Blessings and shalom to you and to yours. Peace.